Right now, we're joined in the studio by Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce's, the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce's, Kristen Smith with the Short and Sweet Business Beat. How are you?
I'm well, Aaron. How are you? I think maybe should this spot now be at 1:04 p.m. because...
Uh-oh.
Because, well, I love that Greg gets to be on at 4:11.
Right.
And so the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce obviously
is located at 104
South Estes Drive.
Okay.
But I realize that afternoon
Yeah, I'd have to get here like 2 hours early, though, is the thing.
We won't do
Could
that
you move,
to you.
Like, 2 blocks down the road? That would be ideal.
We'll work on that.
All right.
So, obviously, the preferred location would be somewhere where half could be in Chapel Hill and half would be in Carrboro,
yes.
Like our building. And so,
oh,
which would
yeah.
be a nightmare for property taxes, but I think show that we represent both municipalities.
Yeah.
Speaking
there is that one place in the, well, I mean, there's a whole bunch of places that cross boundary lines,
right.
But yeah, I don't know how the places that cross two state lines do it with the taxes and everything. I'm not sure.
Doesn't Carowinds Park do
oh,
that?
Oh yeah,
in
I
Charlotte?
Think they do. I
so,
think I think
yeah.
Carowinds might be one of those where like the parking lot is in one state and the actual park is in the other.
Similar to Walmart's parking lot
exactly.
being in Orange County, yet Chatham seems to be raking in the sales tax
yeah.
dollars. So.
Although maybe that's why they're redrawing the North Carolina South Carolina border
to accommodate
Carowinds. That's what it's all about.
It's been a long battle. I don't think it started with the Carowind. So, obviously, wherever we are located, our
yes.
doors are open to you. We won't try to solve the North Carolina, South Carolina debate, but we will talk a little bit about yesterday was an election day.
Election day,
and
yes.
So, we would be remiss without talking about it. I loved hearing the Smith Center stats because I will say I went to a few basketball games where I was like, why aren't there more people here? And so it was good context to remember.
Right.
Like we're still number four
number
in the nation.
Number four in the nation, yeah.
And
it's just a really big arena is the thing.
21,
so compare that to others.
21,000, obviously, I don't think anywhere close to the Carrier Dome in Syracuse.
Yeah.
But it was focusing on the numbers and how we compare. And
mm-hmm.
what I realized is a lot of times when I come on the air to talk about turnout, it's usually bemoaning low turnout
yes.
in municipal elections.
Yes.
And really what I wanted to do is praise Orange County. I took a look at the turnout. Statewide, we only saw 7.68%. Now, this is, I'm not going to say anything because it was a second primary,
right.
a special primary for many like if you voted a nonpartisan ballot yesterday, you only had one contest on that ballot.
Right.
As opposed to, I think it was in the 12th district where they had 17 folks.
13th district, yeah. 12th district was the weird one. I was just running down the list. Okay, it was like trying to make sense of it all. Like the second district is the one that had the two Republican incumbents running against each other. The 13th is the one with 23 different candidates, 17 of them on the Republican
right,
ballot. So
right.
20%. Like the guy who got 20% actually doubled the total of ever anyone else. So he actually did legitimately win by a fairly wide margin and got 20% of the vote. So congratulations to some guy named Ted Budd, who may or may not be a congressman in a few months. But the 12th district is the one that like started in Greensboro and snaked down I-85 to Charlotte. And Alma Adams lived in Greensboro and represented
right.
that district. But now the 12th is all in Charlotte. So she had to buy a house in Charlotte. It was weird. Anyway.
So, but for many... folks just had one contest.
Yes.
So we
yeah.
saw statewide 7.68% turnout,
mm-hmm.
but Orange County almost doubled that with 12.65, almost doubled that
yes.
that turnout. And then looking at the March 15th primary, I was on the air a lot talking about the Connect and See bond referendum that was on the March 15th ballot.
Mm.
I was impressed to see that Orange County turnout was at 43.72%, which was actually higher than the statewide turnout at 35.69%.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, I thought the Smith Center stats were a good reminder, as
yeah.
this was a good reminder that Orange County does a good job of turning out the vote.
And
now,
kind of the same thing. We're always like, oh, we could do better.
Right.
But relatively speaking, we're doing really
but
well.
But would I like the Smith Center all 21,000 seats full, yes, every home game. Absolutely. Always. And would I like to see higher turnout in primaries and municipal elections? Absolutely. Yeah. So, but I thought I would be remiss if I didn't talk a little bit about turnout during yesterday's election.
Yeah. And especially with these sort of lesser known and like not as many items on the ballot, not as much campaign spending, not that many advertisements out there. But the race for, like, for instance, the state Supreme Court justice. You got Bob Bemmons running against Mike Morgan and two other candidates, Sabra Ferris and the fourth guy, Robertson. The other guy. Yeah, I'm blanking on his name.
Are you talking about Michael Morgan or
Robertson? Yeah, he's the guy who finished fourth. Okay, yeah, okay. I just completely blanked out his name for a second because, like, everyone was talking about Edmonton Morgan. Well, you had other, like, Democratic challengers to Bob Edmonds, and hey, man, if those other 96,000 people in Orange County would have turned out and voted for Sabra Ferris, we might have had a California style two Democratic candidates running against each other.
So these are really supposed to be nonpartisan elections, but I know that this is the judicial race was an important one, and we'll see what happens in the general. But I actually wish county commissioner were nonpartisan elections. Mm-hmm. But that aside, I ended up voting yesterday at my polling place at FPG and heading to Carbro for dinner, and it made me think about the Carbro parking study that's coming up. So Carbro actually maintains close to 600 parking spaces, but they've contracted with a transportation consulting firm, VHB Engineering, to look at does the town need to acquire more spaces? Is there a parking problem? And so they had said initially that when they were looking, the busiest time is actually like lunchtime on Thursday. But last night as I was looking for a parking spot, there was not one spot in that South Greensboro Street lot. And so I went ahead and took a picture and shared that with the engineering firm. But the town of Carbro is actually going to have a midpoint meeting to talk about this. And I really hope that businesses participate in this process. So on Thursday, June 16th, from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Carbro Town Hall, they're going to have background on the parking study project. They're going to share the data that's been collected, and talk a little bit about the stakeholder feedback that's collected. If you go to parkcarbro.org, you can take the survey yourself. And I highly encourage, even if you don't live in Carbro, but if you have a business in Carbro, or if you park in Carbro, if you shop in Carbro, if you dine in Carbro, go to parkcarbro.org to fill out the survey. And then they're going to talk about some potential strategies for future parking management. So
Keep going.
No. So I hope folks make sure that they take the survey. So.
Yeah, that's a multifaceted issue. And I remember a Board of Aldermen campaign a couple of years ago where people were really concerned about this and saying, oh, it's about people who are coming into Carbro to shop or eat or just sort of hang out downtown. But it's also about people who work for those businesses. People who work for the restaurants and the shops, like, where do they park? If they have to work all day, do they park in the lots that are technically 3-hour limits? And what happens? And then in a couple of years, we might lose that deck if they're not able to re-up that contract.
We won't lose it. It won't disintegrate.
Away.
It's not like Inspector Gadget, like, we'll combust in 30 seconds.
This parking deck will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
This is, they may not be, the town may not be able to lease them anymore. But so we need to look to the future. We need to talk about employee parking. I think the town of Chapel Hill, working with the Downtown Partnership, is coming up with some pilot programs to address some of this employee parking issues. And I was motivated after last night to fill out the parking survey and said it's absolutely imperative that they address the issue of parking employees in downtown Carbro. Yep. So downtown Carbro is a vibrant central business district, and anything that we can do to support them, I think is better for our economy. So I hope that this that business owners answer the survey is really the call to action right now. But there will be a midpoint meeting Thursday, June 16th from 5:30 to 7:30.
So a week from tomorrow. And parkcarborough.org is the website?
Parkcarborough.org will take you to the page that tells you about the study where you can take the survey. It has a map of like where what the scope of the study is. And it has some information about the upcoming meeting. So check out parkcarborough.org.
All right. Speaking with Kristen Smith, Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce, short and sweet business speak. CarolinaChamber.org is the website if you want to find out more. We got more going on here right now.
Well, Aaron, I'm wondering, do you know what the Chapel Hill Community Center, Carol Woods, and the Sienna Hotel all have in common?
They're all fabulous.
They are. They are fabulous. That's a little bit like Cliff. I don't know if you remember on Cheers when Cliff was on Jeopardy and the final Jeopardy
question. Three women who have never been in my kitchen.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
I may remember that episode. Is it bad that I knew exactly what you were talking about? You remember, you know Cliff? I'm like, yeah, three women who have never been in my kitchen. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I think we're dating ourselves. But yes, all three of those entities are fabulous. But they're also all three entities that have bocce courts. So I know that, you know, if you wanted to have a staycation and go eat at Il Palio, I'm sure they'd let you play bocce there at Chapel Hill Community Center. All you have to do is turn in your ID, and then they give you the bocce balls, and you play outside, and that's a great opportunity to play bocce. Carol Woods, you might have to know a resident to play bocce at those courts. If she was
either
not...
Either that or they'll have questions,
right,
one or
exactly,
the other.
Exactly, exactly. They might... They'll check your ID to see if you're 16 and up. So those are three places you can play bocce, but if you don't want to go to those three places, I hope you'll join us for the Community Bocce Derby. The Chamber is hosting this annual event Thursday, June 16th from 3:30 to 8:30 at American Legion Post 6. You do not have to play. Someone asked me like, do you have to know how to play bocce? I mean,
not really.
Like, you
can,
know.
I mean, eventually, yes. In order to play, you will have to know how to play, but you toss a ball and then you toss another ball
exactly.
And try to get it really close.
You heard it here first. You don't. This is not.
The rules are not complicated.
You do not have to qualify for a professional level of playing. This is about fun and networking, and is a fundraiser for our partnership for a sustainable community, which is our 501c3 arm. So I hope folks will either play. You can also just cheer. I think it's the best ticket that you can get for $25. You can be a super fan that gets you food, drink, including dinner, and an opportunity to network and cheer on your favorite team. So hope that folks will check out the Community Bocce Derby. That's Thursday, June 16th, and you can find tickets at carolinachamber.org/bocce. And if you're not sure how you spell it, it's B-O-C-C-E.
Yes, and I guess I'll find this out next week Thursday because we're hoping to be there. We're not sure. It's going to depend on weather and stuff. If I'm not literally in the studio on the air, then we might be there. But we'll see. But what constitutes a bocce court? Because I played bocce before. And it's just, you take the balls and you go out and, like, you kind of make your own, right?
Well, so, I think there's a regulation size court. Yes, could you play pickup basketball in any parking lot where you had
a regulation
peach basket?
Court
yes,
for,
but,
okay.
Like, there's a regulation court for bocce. But I will tell you, yesterday, to kind of, like, get staff excited about a one last marketing push, we played Wilderness Bocce, which you can ask Greg Overbeck when he's on at 411 about Wilderness Bocce. And
I'm just going to hit him with that question. We got Greg Overbeck here on the air from 411 West. But whatever. Tell me about Wilderness Bocce.
So we played a game of Wilderness Bocce, which is basically what you're saying, bocce wherever.
Bocce wherever.
And so,
that would be a great T-shirt. Bocce wherever.
Bocce.
Just bocce wherever.
Bocce wherever?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good slogan for bocce. You know what? I'm just going to let you talk.
No. I'm sorry. I'm still thinking about old Cheers episodes. So we hope to see you Thursday, June 16th at the Community Bocce Derby.
Right.
CarolinaChamber.org/bocce for tickets. You can be a super fan or you can play in a team of two. Aaron, I really hope I see you there.
All right. Sounds good. CarolinaChamber.org/bocce if you want more about the bocce tournament. CarolinaChamber.org. Just period if you want to know more about the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. Kristen Smith, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Aaron.